Okay, Lord willing now, Song of Solomon, chapter 3. Chapter 3, I'm taking the title for the message from the words found in verse 4. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 4. It was but a little that I passed from them, that is the watchmen, the preachers of the gospel, but I found him. I found the Lord Jesus Christ, whom my soul loveth, and I held him. I held him. This is not talking about a physical holding the Lord. This is laying hold of him by faith. That's how we lay hold of him, by that precious gift of faith, and would not let him go until I brought him into my mother's house, the house of the Lord, the house of worship, into the chamber of her that conceived me, begotten of God, born from above. So the title, I'm taking the title for the message from what is said in verse 4, I found him whom my soul loveth. Isn't that precious? My beloved is mine and I am his. We only love him because he first loved us. Being in love with the Lord Jesus Christ is the sovereign gift of God. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God, sons of God. Love is the gift of God to us. He's loved us with an everlasting love. Being in love with the Lord Jesus Christ is a gift of his grace. It's the fruit of his Spirit. Remember when Paul writes about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, these things. The Apostle Paul in Romans 5 said, hope maketh not ashamed. We have a good hope in Christ, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, with all thy quickening power, shed abroad in our heart the Savior's love. That's what God the Holy Spirit does. He comforts us with Christ. Our Lord said, when the Comforter has come, the Holy Spirit has come, he'll take the things of mine and show them to you. Now, we know this. No man naturally loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing can separate us from the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. But no man naturally is in love with Almighty God. Matter of fact, it's just the opposite. The carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal, natural man receiveth not the things of God. Men love, what John say? Darkness, not the light. So men don't naturally love the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a lover of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and a lover of God, it's because God granted that to you and manifested that to you by the power of God the Holy Spirit. Now, in the last study, from chapter 2, the believer and the church. This is the bridegroom and the bride. The church of Christ was at ease, resting and rejoicing in a very comfortable state of mind. In verse 16 of chapter 2, he said, my beloved is mine. Oh, he's all mine. And I'm his. And he feeds among his people. He's a good shepherd who leads us and feeds us. But now we have a change of circumstances somewhat. We see the church sensing the Lord's manifest presence with absence. And she diligently, that is the bride, seeks the Lord, waiting until the daybreak and the shadows flee away, that the beloved would turn quickly unto me. As it says there in verse 17 of chapter 2, until the daybreak and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like that young deer, and come quickly, and bless me, and comfort me, and exalt yourself within me. David said in Psalm 130, my soul waiteth for the Lord, more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Boy, he's worth waiting on, isn't it? Wait upon the Lord, and again I say, wait upon the Lord. One old writer said, when the Lord at times is pleased to hide his face, it is to make us to know the value of his presence and to excite us to seek his face. I thought that was good. And earnestly prize his presence and desire to see him more. We sing that song often. I can't remember the title of it, but one line of it says, "In thy book revealed, I see the Lord. I see the Lord." Now, all men ought to seek the Lord. All men ought to seek the Lord. Believers and unbelievers. We should seek him where he's found. Where's he found? Not in Jerusalem. Don't go to Jerusalem. Don't sign up for one of them cruises to go to Jerusalem and to see if you can find the Lord. Many, many people are doing that. That's not the holy land. That's the ungodly land. Seek him in his word. You have his word. He reveals himself in his word. Seek him in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek him in the preaching of the word. Seek him where Christ is worshipped and where Christ is exalted and worshipped in spirit and in truth. He has promised that he will be found of those that seek him and diligently seek him. I think we read this Sunday or the Sunday before in Jeremiah 29. "You shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I'll be found of you." Boy, I'm going to seek the Lord. If he says, if you seek me, you'll find me. I'm going to seek him. Our Lord says on repeatedly, he says, "Come unto me, all your labor heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, shall never thirst. Come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need." Now we see here good instruction on seeking the Lord. And it's evident from the text that those who seek the Lord do so because they're in love with him. They desire his presence. "I sought him whom my soul loveth." Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. "By night, in the night seasons, and all the day long, upon my bed at night." We can seek the Lord in the privacy of our own bedroom, upon our own bed. We can seek the Lord in our heart. "By night on my bed, I sought him by prayer, by calling upon the Lord. I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I didn't find him. I didn't find him. His presence seemed to be gone. Now, believers seek the Lord in private because we do love him. We love him because he first loved us. Those who know the Lord Jesus Christ do love him. They do seek him personally in the quietness of the night or in the quietness of their soul. They meditate and ponder upon who he is. All the time, when we go to bed, when we wake up, we meditate upon his person, who he is, God Almighty, God our Savior. We meditate and think and ponder upon his work, how he's accomplished all of our salvation for us, how he's obtained eternal redemption for us, how his mercy is everlasting mercy, how his grace justifies us by his grace. We love to think upon him and ponder upon all that he is and all that he's done for us. And yet sometimes, even in our honest efforts to seek his presence and seek his face, his grace, we sense that we have not been blessed to find him and see him by faith. Look what it says in the next line. "I found him not." Now we do seek the Lord, earnestly seeking the Lord. But sometimes we can say with David, you remember in the Psalms, David said, "Is his mercy clean gone? Is God forgotten to be gracious? Is he gone? Has he forsaken me?" No. His manifest presence, the Lord may withhold that for a season, but it's only for our good. It's only for our good. Now look at verse 2. "I will rise now. In the night, upon my bed, I sought him, but I didn't find him. Now the morning's come. I'll rise now and go about the city, in the streets, and in the broad way, and I'll seek him. Diligently seek him, whom my soul loveth. I sought him publicly, openly, but I found him not." Again, disappointment. Disappointment. Believers also seek the Lord in a public way. We're seeking the Lord this evening, aren't we? In a public way. when we gather publicly in his name. His love, and we do so because we love him. The love of Christ constrains us. Saving faith, the faith of God's love, the faith of God's elect, rather, true love to the Lord Jesus Christ is not deterred, but rather resolved to keep seeking the Lord until he is found. We just keep seeking the Lord and seeking the Lord. Lord, bless me. Like Jacob, Lord, I will not let you go. I will not let you go till you bless me. I remember reading a psalm almost 30 years ago now when I first came here. I never forgot it. Sitting in my study one day looking at Psalm 27, and I read this statement. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto me, thy face, Lord, will I seek. When he says, seek the Lord, our response is, Lord, thy face, his person. We're seeking him. Him. Not the things he has. We're seeking him. Him. When in private prayer and private worship we seek the Lord, and if we're not satisfied with his manifest presence to us, we continue to seek him among the assembly of faithful believers. That's why we assemble together. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but much more as you see the day approaching. Seek the Lord where others are seeking the Lord. That's what we're to do. We endeavor in private worship to seek the Lord, but also in public worship where the saints of God meet together. And we're all seeking the Lord. That's part of worshiping the Lord, is seeking him, his face, his person. Our Lord has promised this. He said we're two or three. One, two, three. One, two, three. He said, there I'll be in the midst. We're gathered in his name. The Lord is right here with us. So I don't feel his presence. He didn't ask you to believe, to feel his presence. He said, believe my word. He said, I'm with you where two or three are gathered together. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. Matthew 28. But even then, sometimes believers say, I sought the Lord and I didn't find him. I went to the worship service and it was just, to me, it was just going through the motions. It's sad to say, and I confess sometimes I just preach to be preaching. It just doesn't really, and I hate it when that happens. But it's just a reality. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency may be of God and not of us. Again, the believer was not successful or satisfied even in this public way, going out in the street seeking him publicly. Sometimes the Lord will try our faith to make us to know and reveal unto us whether our faith is real or whether it's phony. True faith will be tried. Now, trials don't produce faith, but trials do reveal faith. Peter calls them, don't turn, let me read it to you. You're familiar with this. Peter calls them precious trials. He says, wherein, 1 Peter 1:6, you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, your heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love, and whom, though now you seem not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. The Lord sends us these trials on purpose. On purpose for our good. True faith will continue to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the means of grace we seek. It's the Lord of grace we seek. We must have him. Notice several times he said, I sought him. I sought him. I sought him. I was looking to him. Salvation in him. H-I-M. Christ. look at one page over, turn one page over, chapter 5, look at verse 16. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he's altogether lovely. This is my beloved, this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. And then if you look at chapter 6, this experience is going on again. Where's my beloved gone? He's gone again. I don't sense his presence. Isn't that our life? To you who believe he is altogether lovely, to you who believe he is precious, nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ himself can satisfy the sinking soul and meet our need. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I count everything else lost, dung, and ruin, that I may win Christ and be found in him. He's able to meet all our need according to his riches and glory through our blessed Savior. Now look at verse 3. The watchman that goeth about the city found me, to whom I said, have you seen him? Saw ye him? I'm in love with him. Do you know where I can find him? Earnest desire of a cry of a believer's heart. The believer will leave no stone unturned in seeking the love of their life. Even seeking out a true servant of the Lord, the gospel preacher or the watchman, to seek the Lord through the preaching of the gospel. God has ordained that to be a blessing to the calling out of his elect. The watchmen, the preachers of the gospel, they are always interested in true seekers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're eager to tell seekers, true seekers of the Lord, who he is, what he has done, what he has accomplished, and where he can be found. I'm always encouraged when someone wants to know the gospel. Can you tell me the gospel? Who he is? What he did, and where he is now? He's sitting on the throne of glory, making intercession for us. Who is he? God manifest in the flesh. What did he accomplish? All our salvation. Established for us eternal righteousness. Those sent to preach the gospel of God's free grace in Christ are servants to his people. Servants to his people. Someone sent me a note the other day, said, appreciate all your labor and time and effort in preaching. I said, it's a great honor. It's a great privilege. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant. Servants. You know, that's a high title. The Lord Jesus Christ is called the servant of the Lord. We have the charge upon us to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Public worship and gospel preaching are not optional in our spiritual life. They are most necessary to it. God has given his church pastors and teachers for the purpose of watching over, instructing, and teaching his people in the way of salvation. These are ministers by whom we have believed. Now let me read this to you. I know you're familiar with this, so you don't need to turn, but Paul said, who then is Paul? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth anything, but God gives the increase. We are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. He built the church with his own blood. Isn't that a precious thing? The Lord gives his church ministers of gospel. Now look at verse 4. It was but a little. This is a little while. Maybe a few moments, maybe a few hours, maybe a day or two. It was but just a little that I passed from them, that is from the watchmen. Oh, I found him. I found him. And would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house, into the chamber of her that conceived me. The Lord in his due time will bless the word to those who seek him. It was just a little while and I found him. I know he first found us, but this is talking about the experience in the believer's life. We find him all the time. We find the Lord to be gracious. We find the Lord to be merciful. We find the Lord has reconciled us unto God. Like the Ethiopian, remember, he went all the way to Jerusalem seeking the Lord, and he went away ignorant and uninformed as he was traveling through the desert and reading Isaiah 53, of all things to read. What was he doing? He was seeking the Lord, wasn't he? He was diligently seeking the Lord. And the Lord sent him a gospel preacher, Philip. And Philip said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I, except some man show me?" And beginning at the same scripture, "He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. He preached unto him the Lord Jesus Christ." There's the word preached. Philip opened his mouth at the same scripture and preached Christ unto him. If we are stirred to seek him, it's only because he has created an interest in our hearts to see our need of him and to desire to love him, to trust him, to believe him, to worship him. He will in due time bless those that truly seek the Lord. Now, I'll have you turn to this one. Can we find Psalm 34? I know you. Psalm 34 is a familiar psalm. I've preached from it here many times. Psalm 34. "I will bless the Lord," verse 1, "at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears." I sought the Lord, and he heard our cry. He hears the cry of his people. "Those that are blessed to find him will not let him go, but rather by lively actings of faith will lay hold of him," lay hold of his blood by faith for cleansing, lay hold of his righteousness for justification before God, and will not let him go. Continually, it's not that we just sought the Lord one time. We're continually seeking the Lord. Our walk is a walk of faith, continually seeking the Lord. We're continually looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the author and finisher of our faith. We're continually, as Peter said, "To whom coming? As unto a living stone. This loud indeed of men, but precious unto God." We continue to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says there, "I would not let him go until I brought him to my mother's house." I think this is a picture of the believer in the worship of the Lord in the house of the Lord, my mother's house, and into the chamber of her that conceived me. We're conceived with the word of truth. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed. That's how we're conceived. Conceived of God, born of God, in the house of God, with the word of God. Now, I'm not saying that God is limited to work in a certain place, but usually souls are converted under the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how it usually happens. That's the way God ordains it. You remember the wild Gadarene that the Lord healed and went home and declared how great things the Lord had done for him. When the Lord healed him and put him in his right mind, that wild, crazy man that was naked and chained and just a menace to the neighborhood and everybody else, till he met the Lord. And the Lord healed him, put him in his right mind. And that Gadarene said, "I'm going to follow you wherever you go. I'm seeking the Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee, and have compassion on thee." Go home to your mother's house and tell them how great things the Lord had done for you. Or like Matthew the publican. We're going to see that in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew the publican, when the Lord called him, "Matthew, follow me." Matthew was sitting over there on the receipt of customs. He was a Jew who was taking taxes, collecting taxes for the Romans. They weren't very popular people. Notorious crooks is what they were. And the Lord stepped right in front of the table of Matthew the publican and said, Matthew, follow me. You know what he did? Followed the Lord. And then he made a great feast in his own house, invited all of his sinner friends, invited them to come and seek the Lord with him at his house. Well, you know what happened? The Pharisees got all uptight and all upset. They said, why does your master eat with publicans and sinners? And the Lord heard them, and he said, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners to repentance. Go learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Come to call righteous folks, but sinners. Lord Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. In closing, look at verse 5. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem. I believe that's talking about the elect of God, daughters of the heavenly Jerusalem, sons of God, the elect of God by the road, by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor wake my love till he please. Don't disturb this union we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us jealously guard the fellowship and worship service unto the Lord. Let us not participate in anything that would disrupt the preaching of the gospel or the worshiping of the Lord, seeking to worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's guard it carefully. Our Lord said in John 4, the hour cometh and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. He's seeking us, and because he's seeking us, we seek him. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It was but a little that I passed from them, and I found him whom my soul loveth, and held him. I would not let him go.